KC107.7. Welcome to another exciting edition of KC Soccer on KC107.7. You're listening to Connor Robertson. Today we have Andy James from Jumper Waste Management, where we will be discussing the fascinating industry of waste management. I'm really looking forward to this interview, and I think it's going to be something that we should all listen to. So Andy, let's get started. Can you tell us more about yourself and the role you have at Jumper Waste Management?
Okay, so I'm a garbage woman of note, so I talk rubbish for a living.
Perfect.
And I waste my time. But so I am one of the owners of Jumper Waste Management. So I'm born and bred Paul. Like I said, we waste our time most of the time at Jumper Waste Management, but born and bred in Paul, saw a need here in Paul and decided to put Jumper Waste in Paul.
Okay, cool. So waste management is a massive industry, right? What exactly does Jumper Waste Management do?
So we do a variety of waste streams, right? So I'd say these in our main focus, which is hazardous waste and medical waste. There are three other companies within the Western Cape, and you're looking at the Western Cape up until Oudtshoorn doing what we do. But that makes us number four in the Western Cape doing medical waste and hazardous waste disposal. So we do a variety of waste streams, all under that umbrella. And so we've become we've ruffled a bit of feathers in that industry, having so little competition.
Yeah, so basically you're an industry disruptor.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. So let's look at, everyone is always interested in the story of a company or a story of a business. So can you maybe just give us the story of how this whole thing came to be? Because everyone has a story.
Yeah, so if I'm going to give the radio edit version of it, I'd probably say Jumper Waste started on a Friday when Miles and I had a cup of tea. That's the radio edit version. Yeah. But like I said, we started Jumper Waste in 2021, and it started over a cup of tea on a Friday. Miles found out, you know, he's a little Mr. Investigator, found out that I've been in the waste industry for a while, working in the sector that he's very passionate about or wanted to be passionate about, which is the medical waste industry. So he found me. We had some chats about the medical waste industry, the fact that there's a need in Paul for this and things like that. So eventually we decided, hey, you know what? Both born and bred Paul. We need it here. We don't have it here. There's so little other people doing it. Because I've been working at one of the largest medical waste disposal companies in South Africa, and Miles being an environmental lawyer, we decided, hey, you know what? Let's jump ship and do it. So then we jumped in head first, started Jumper Waste Management.
So, you know, the one thing that everyone talks about is, like, you have to have a passion for the project. And I have to say, one of the reasons why we got you on board is because I feel like if there's so many sustainable businesses out there that are doing well, and there's a massive gap for such businesses, right? But the one thing that everyone thinks is that in order to start a business, you have to have a passion for the industry. Do you have a passion for waste management?
I have a degree in sports science, if I'm going to be honest about it.
Fair.
So I've got a degree in sports science, and initially sports was my passion, but garbage is paying the bills. So I wouldn't say per se that I'm following my passion, but a passion is my drive. My drive is success. So not necessarily doing your passion, but being successful at what you do could give you the same impact.
And I think it also gives you, it's a different experience entirely. And you obviously meet all kinds of different people. So I think on that side, it's like a new challenge. Because I'm in the point where I'm also looking for a new challenge.
Yeah.
And the one thing we're looking at is, how do we go about it? Because it's not that I'm sick and tired of doing the same thing. It's just I think it's maybe because of the generation I'm born in. I'm looking for something new, something just to get that, you know, not necessarily an entrepreneurial brain working, but just I feel like I'm working again on easy mode, so I need to level up a bit. New. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what, eh? I think that's why earlier I said, like, we're trying to disrupt the industry a little bit, because what we try and did with Jumper Waste is look, both of us come out of corporate. So when we started the company, we agreed, listen, we're not going to do what anyone else is doing. We're going to do it different. So our aim has been to try and make garbage look fun. We try and make waste look fun. So everybody that's employed by Jumper Waste, all of them take so much pride in being garbage people. And in essence, we are just garbage people. So I think if you add some fun to it, or you add a component that nobody else is doing, you know, you can definitely stand out and you can get a good kick out of it.
So I want to delve into the next part of this interview. And the biggest question I want to ask is, what is the biggest challenges you faced in the waste management industry?
Well, in the waste management industry, you know, for argument's sake, specifically what we are doing. So like I mentioned earlier, we started initially the company doing medical waste, right?
Yes.
But quickly discovered that, you know, if you're going to make money, you can't be too picky about what you want to do. So so just going into medical waste did not climb or build the company quick enough. So then we diversified by going into recycling, general waste, going into chemicals and other hazardous waste streams, just to be able to diversify and create more avenues of income. So apart from the waste services that we supply, we also went into supplying plastic bags, supplying the consumables and everything that everyone would need for a complete waste management service. So I think one of the biggest challenges would be initially when we started was trying to be picky about it and saying that, hey, we're just going to do medical waste. But we quickly discovered that, you know, this is going to take some time to get off the ground. And if you need time, you need money to sustain you for that time. So, yeah, so we diversified very quickly because that was the first challenge that we found. Secondly, when you start up a company or when you start up anything, for argument's sake, and I don't think this is just for the waste industry per se, but for any business, cash flow. Cash flow is a big need, not just for yourself to sustain yourself, but I mean, which is to actually grow your business. Because you can easily get to a certain point and realize, hey, you know, this is as far as I'm kept, but now I need money for growth. And yeah, that could money could be a very big problem or be a very big challenge for you to overcome in your journey.
So I like the solution you gave to the big challenge you had, which was diversification. Because I feel like you said, a lot of the times when you start a business, you just want to specialize because you want to be the specialist.
Exactly.
But nobody trusts the specialist until they are the specialist.
Exactly.
So diversification for me has always been the easiest solution because, number one, it helps you build brand, it helps you build reputation.
100%.
And then when you've built your reputation, then you can be picky on where you want to be. So I really like that. And I mean, I don't feel like a lot of businesses speak enough about that option to first diversify and then become, like, let's say sub
yeah,
heroes or champions of industry.
But you don't want to be like Andy's construction company doing Andy's cleaning. You know,
yeah,
what I mean? You don't want to diversify like that. You basically want to just, the aim is to diversify under your specialities, which is in our case, waste management. So all we added was the consumables thereof, but still under the waste management portfolio. So you don't want to.
Yeah, you guys, the nice thing I liked about what you guys did is you guys diversified in your industry.
Yeah.
You didn't go and do a vertical shift. So you didn't go into waste management and then from waste manage into skip hire, for example.
No, not exactly. We're trying to stay with the brand and the industry that we're in. So it doesn't say I'm against skips, but yeah, we try to stay within the waste management umbrella, just trying to diversify to stir the pot. Stir the pot meaning create cash flow, create constant income, and actually build on the business that we've created. So yeah.
So let's look at another aspect, you know, technological advances. How has this played a role in your industry?
So within our industry, look, for argument's sake, in the hazardous waste industry, there is a lot of technology out there, but it doesn't mean that in South Africa most of the technology is used, because we are bound by various legislation and laws and things like that. But we do have plans for it. You've got a 5 to 10 year plan running in the background. So we do have plans. All I can say for now is, in the long term, our end goal will end up in waste to energy.
Okay, awesome. So let's look at it from our listeners' perspective. How can they contribute to improving waste management? What can they do in their personal capacity, and then from a community level as well?
I think, you know what, in terms of waste management, I mean, I don't know if any of you have ever been to our local landfill.
I have not yet, I'll be very honest.
Make a plan, because it will change your perspective on waste. So I think if we can all start at home, recycling. Do your own, have your own little green scenario going. Sort out your plastic, sort out your cardboard. Try and divert as much waste as you can at home from landfill. Because, landfills everywhere are becoming problematic in terms of not having enough airspace and things like that. So they're basically filling up quicker than we expect, because our population is increasing so quicker. So if we start recycling at home, involve your kids, involve your family, that could already make a difference. Every little bit helps.
The one thing I do want to touch on is a bit of education, because, in every industry, I don't think there's enough education about waste management as a whole. Is that something that you guys are currently busy with?
Yes, we actually do. We offer it to schools, or we've been trying to approach schools and trying to get involved with schools to create on a school level awareness with kids and things, because I think the next generation is where we're actually going to change things, change the perspective and be able to make an impact on our current waste management situation happening in South Africa.
Because I remember this is when I was in primary school, because I think the whole paper recycling project, remember that little bin?
Yes.
It was a massive, orangish bin,
yeah,
that you used to take all your newspapers and everything and you used to just shove it in. Those projects have sort of fallen away, so it's nice that there's new projects coming in and someone's come in and given it a new sort of look, new touch of paint.
Yeah, no, definitely. If we could obviously, all of this takes time and money and things like that. But as we are going around, we're trying to extend as much of our resources as possible to assist and help and create awareness wherever we go. So, yeah, there's a lot of companies that are involved with us as well.
So is there anything specific Jump Waste Management is working on right now that listeners should know about?
Okay. So Jumper Waste is working currently there's a new legislation coming out that by 2027 no businesses are allowed to send their food waste. So anything coming from the kitchen that we normally discard to landfill. So that's going to kick in. Yeah, that's going to kick in 2027. So what we've done on our end is we have started composting food waste. So we have partnered with Drakenstein Municipality with their biodigester, and we have been diverting food waste from various companies within Paul to create compost of it. So the biodigester basically creates a nutrient compost from food waste that we get in our kitchens.
I actually like that, because if I think about it, or if any general person thinks about it, 2027 seems like it's a long way to go.
No, it's not.
But let's be well honest, 2024 is almost done.
Yeah, so that's why we've tried to get a jump start on it, trying to get our processes in place and things like that. So when it does get to 2027, then we'd rather have businesses approach us, and we've already have the system in place.
There's one word you mentioned that I really, really love, and I would like to touch on it a bit, is that Drakenstein as a business partner. I love the fact that you have business partners that you've networked with that helps you get to where you guys want to be. Let's just discuss that, because I feel like a lot of people think that business partners are people in your business, but it's actually people you've networked with.
Definitely. So I've chatted at the entrepreneurial talk as well previously about this, and people ask me but you know, how did you guys do it? How did you guys get to where you are? So when you are employed, the best thing to do is if you're going to set yourself up to have your own business one day, is networking. So at Jumper Waste, we've got partnerships with a lot of treatment facilities. So we actually have a lot of partners within our business, but people that companies that we've partnered with for either treatment or various waste streams, because we don't own our own treatment facility, but we've partnered with various companies for their treatment facilities. And that's all part of the network that we've built over our time of employment, if I can put it that way, when we were doing corporate. So when you are employed, you better network is the only way, because when you want to go out on your own, that's what you need to have done right.
I remember actually speaking to a client, because we do some business coaching as well, and they always asked me, what is the one thing you wish you did before you started a business? And I said to them, the one thing I wish I did was I wish I went to these business and corporate dinners that places that I worked at were all about, because I definitely believe I didn't network enough when I was employed. Definitely. So networking is almost like that superpower that nobody tells you need to do before you open a business.
Exactly.
Because as you know, when you open a business, you get 2 likes, but when you get a promotion, you get 25 or 50, right?
Yeah. Look, like one of the things that also said is, obviously you build relationship. Networking, just another word for it, is building relationships. So it gives you opportunity to show people what you are capable of. So let's say you work corporate, right? You network, you build these relationships and things like that. When you eventually go out on your own, people trust you so much and are so aware of your capabilities that they're willing to go with you. So that's what you need to try and do. Networking is key.
I really like another point you guys mentioned, because a lot of people believe that when you started up, you need to carry all those responsibilities. Where you guys have sort of partnered up with everyone that's helped you with different areas of your business. And it's not something that you're solely taking responsibility of, but you're actually going, you know what, we can do this segment of work at our present scale, but we would like to partner with you so that we could grow together. And I think a lot of small businesses don't do this.
Yeah, look, if I'm going to just say it out loud, so one of the places I used to work with is one of our treatment, or used to work at, is one of our treatment facilities. So obviously, them knowing me and my capabilities knew when I said, listen here, can I use your treatment facility to bring all my waste? And then they immediately said yes, because they know I'm going to bring a lot of waste when I start bringing. But at the end of the day, yeah, having that relationships gets you a long way, especially if you start from scratch. You need to have that relationship to start. I mean, we also, like, supply so many people with plastic bags. I mean, you might be shocked, but in a normal month, we probably sell between 500 and 700,000 plastic bags.
That's
a variety
incredible.
Of industries, yeah.
That's incredible. And another thing you mentioned was that the place you left that you were previously working in 85 with, it's so awesome that you literally left on such good terms that you were able to work with that previous employer. I often find so many people who come to me and they say, look, we would like to start a business, and then they're literally leaving their 85 on very bad terms. So it's very important that you actually, you don't burn those bridges.
No, definitely not. Like, so my 8 to 5 is buying bags from me.
That's actually the biggest flex, I have to say.
Yeah, they're buying bags from us now at the moment. So yeah, it took a while, but we are there. But definitely our relationships and doing the networking, and you never know. I mean, be kind to everyone, because you never know when that person that you meet down the line might be the person you need.
For sure, for sure. So we mentioned earlier in the interview about how you guys diversified your business and everything. But what is the most common waste that you found that you deal with the most?
The most common waste.
Most common waste.
The most problematic waste? Or
Let's go with both.
Yeah, okay. Let me do this rather. So earlier we spoke about recycling, right? But recycling is like a swear word for me. When I have to approach clients or explain recycling to anyone, it's almost like a swear word. Because it feels to me like the moment that you say recycling, people immediately think that you pay different for a liter of fuel than everyone else. You pay a different labor rate than everyone else. You pay a different rate for a vehicle than everyone else. Because people think somehow that you get millions of rands for recycling. So recycling is one of the biggest things that, I mean, we want people to do it, but at the end of the day, I think people need to have a little bit of a mind shift, because in today's day and age, like, I mean, for a kilogram of cardboard or plastic or whatever everybody sees as recyclables, you don't really get that much money for it anymore. But at the same time, you expect us to collect it. Expect us to pick it up, so that involves labor. You expect us to transport it, and then you still ask me for a rebate. So yeah, recycling is like that swear word that you throw around. I don't like talking about recycling too much, or having people ask me for a rebate.
Yeah. So that's actually quite interesting, because, I mean, not a lot of people understand the whole idea of how there's so much overheads with regards to any business as a whole. But with your business in particular, you guys probably have more overheads than most businesses.
I think, I take pride in the fact that we've streamlined our business in such a manner that when we diversified under each little component. So we treat each waste stream as a little business entity. For argument's sake, recycling, it needs to pay itself. Medical waste, it needs to pay itself. General waste, it needs to pay itself. And plastic bags, it needs to pay itself. So we treat it as different. It's all under Jumper Waste Management, but we treat it as different cost centers. So making sure that each waste stream can turn a buck. I think, yeah, it's a hard journey to run, but I think we take pride in the fact that we streamlined things in that manner. By excluding treatment and having a treatment facility for, like, medical waste and things like that, that has also allowed us to do things much quicker than anybody out there in our industry. So I think the main game for us is service, doing it bigger, better, faster.
That's absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for your time and your insight. I really appreciate you here. Before we leave, can you just give our listeners all your contact details so that they can contact you guys?
Okay, so you can contact, you can check out our website at www.jumperwaste.co.za. If there's anything you'd like to know about anything waste related, or just maybe to have a chat or a quote, you can contact us at info@jumperwaste.co.za. Our contact details are all on our website, so have a browse and have a look.
Thank you so much, guys. We hope that this episode has been absolutely insightful for you guys, and we'll see you same time, same place. God bless. #KCSoccer News, only on KC 107.7.